From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour. I think we covered all we needed to cover on the Rockets. Worked on a few other things there. A little football talk. A little bit about the other series. So still plenty to get to since we weren't here yesterday. But if you want to get in, give us a call, 713-780-3776. And I should I save my list for the 6 o'clock hour?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll tease it for another hour. It's actually done, finally.
Finally.
It was more work than I thought it should be. And also, just another quick reminder, if you're just getting in your car and you're looking for something to do for lunch tomorrow, Coach Tom Herman, if you're a UH fan, at the JW Marriott, tomorrow at noon, Houston Touchdown Club, putting it on. Go to touchdownclub.org and get your tickets. And I know there's tickets still available because people were scared of the floods.
Okay.
But I'm looking out the window right now. It's beautiful. It'll be beautiful tomorrow.
Yeah, beautiful is a stretch.
Compared to yesterday, it's beautiful.
Yeah, compared to yesterday.
I think it's pretty good.
Jong, did the flooding get to you?
No, it didn't. I was with Teresa down in League City, so there wasn't too much down there.
And you you didn't really want to come to work yesterday anyway. You haven't
I was feeling pretty sick starting Saturday night and got worse Sunday. And then I was on I was coming down from it Monday. So Sunday night, I kind of heavily medicated myself and I was coming down. And when I woke up around 9 o'clock, close to 9, I got a bunch of text messages and emails saying that the station is flooded and all this different stuff. So I had to adjust accordingly.
Okay.
So I was in bed sending emails for the next couple of hours.
So let's say I had wanted to do the show. Would you have been here?
I don't think so.
Gosh, neither one of you wanted to come in.
Well, me for a different reason, but I think I would have slid Tyler over. Because I think the HD show wanted to do it. And by that time, I think around 2, 3 o'clock, the waters receded around the station. And early in the morning, Dylan Gwynn tried to get here with his, you know, he drives a big truck. And he said he couldn't get near the station because his truck couldn't get through the water.
Okay.
So I figured nobody could get here. So I told Dell that if he can't find a way in, then don't risk it. And then I told you guys the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, and by 2 o'clock, we could have easily made it. The forecast was still for more. I just didn't want to get stuck here. And because I don't want to stay here all night. No offense. We don't have any beer.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have been cool. If we had beer in the fridge, I'd have been okay with it. But, I got tricked by the weather idiots because they kept saying 3 to 6 more inches of rain. And I made the same fatal mistake during Allison. The weather got just like this. And it was nice again. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to the racetrack. And that was a hideous mistake.
Okay.
So maybe that was influencing things a little bit too. But it's, you know, why take a chance? And most people are stuck at home anyway. So they're doing stuff with their families. They're probably not listening to the radio. I'm sure a few folks missed us.
Oh, I just got the email that I finished in the top 10% of the fantasy basketball thing too.
Yeah?
So I get to move on to the second round.
It's kind of sneaky what they're doing there. They're trying to draw you into their daily fantasy.
They are.
Which
we can't even play, right?
It's illegal. Right. We can play the free ones.
Right.
But if they try to suck us into playing for money, they're wasting their time.
Yeah, we can't do it.
Yeah.
It's lost on us, I'm afraid.
They really should just look at what states people are playing from and eliminate all of us and just tell us we finished outside the top 10%.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to get any money out of us. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. We were talking about Andrew Luck a little bit earlier. Apparently, he's, I guess they're pretty deep in contract talks now, which Dude is going to get paid. He's going to get a significant amount
of
money.
As he should.
Yeah. He basically said, I'd love to be here, get it done, and move forward. That being said, I really don't spend that much time thinking about it. I think he's thinking about it.
Of course he is. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's and I'm sure that they will get it done because it would make no sense for the Colts not to do it. And he's going to wind up being the highest paid quarterback. It's his turn. He's up at that time. And, you know, the interesting thing will be to see how the Colts manage their cap once you've got that big chunk on quarterback.
Right.
Because that's always the hardest thing. And that's one of the reasons why the Seahawks were able to build what they did, because their quarterback was on the cheap for 3 years.
Yep.
And then he gets paid and everybody else starts getting paid. And it's
more difficult.
Yeah. And that's where it's so, you can always admire teams that are always good every year. The Patriots, certainly. I think the Steelers do a pretty good job with it too, because Ben has a nice contract. Packers. I mean, it's important to have that quarterback, but they do a real good job of turning the roster over too. 713-780-ESPN. Somebody says, speaking of Dylan Gwynn, he called into his own show yesterday. He sounded
the Mighty Gwynn here, calling into the Mighty Gwynn show.
It sounded nothing on the phone like he does on air. Why does he go all radio dweeb voice?
Because that's his shtick.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I turn into a different man when I'm on the air.
But only when you do Bob Arum.
Of course.
Then you turn into you literally do turn into a different man. But that's just how he does things, man. I mean, everybody's different. If it works.
Who am I to tell that guy how to make it in this business? What do I know?
Well.
I know nothing, Jon Snow.
Speaking of which, that is a week away. That was the best thing about Vinyl being over, besides the fact that it just wasn't very good.
Yeah.
I did like the last episode, but I don't think I'll watch another season of it.
Are they going to do another season of it?
I hope not.
I wouldn't project that.
Yeah, I haven't heard, but I certainly hope they don't. I thought it was just, for the people involved with it, it was highly disappointing.
Yeah.
But we had Better Call Saul last night, the last one of those.
Very good.
Very good, although it was a little bit like, yeah, it didn't feel like a season ender.
It didn't feel like that to me either. And yeah. I went and checked today. I was like, was that the last episode or not?
Yeah.
And it was. So there wasn't something that happened. I mean, I guess, spoiler alert here. Chuck has now tape on Jimmy, which Chuck is the worst. I hate Chuck.
I know. He's easy to hate.
But there wasn't like a big moment for the major characters. Like, even Mike, you're kind of left wondering what's going on. I don't know. You're right. It didn't feel like that should have been the last episode, and that is our last episode for a while. So that's unfortunate.
But they're already. I watched a few minutes of the after show, which when the Rockets were on commercial, they've already started their meetings and writing for season 3.
Okay.
So they kind of know where they're going with it. But yeah, I just thought it was a really good episode, but I felt like, you know, wait a minute, this is just. Okay, this is almost like tune in next week for what happens next. So now I got to wait, you know, 8 months for it. But thought it was a really solid season all the way around. And, you know, I wanted Chuck to die.
Yeah.
But
I kind of knew that wasn't happening, though.
No, they can't kill him off. He's probably the biggest name on the show. But, yeah, I still want him to become Saul. I'm ready for him to be Saul and not Jimmy McGill anymore. Maybe this is the thing that leads
to it. Probably next season, yeah.
But boy, Mike, they had a lot of discussion about how he hasn't quite turned into the Stone Cold Killer yet. And Jonathan Banks was just saying, "Hey, if it were up to me, I would just be killing everybody." So, but that was a good season. Last Outsiders is tonight for the year. That's done.
Yeah,
which I'm looking forward to that. Orphan Black started last week,
yes.
And another good Banshee on Friday night. Which wasn't really surprised, but we know who the father is.
We do know who the father is.
Or would have been, as it were.
Yeah, that was strange to me. I don't know what's going on with that. I mean, obviously it was fun for me, but I don't know what's going on with Hood and Rebecca and what exactly he's being forward or being honest with.
It was good to get Joe back, though. That was the best part of that episode. And I can't wait for him to get back to cross-dressing and being a smartass.
Yeah.
Because that's the show has missed that with him gone, that sense of humor, the times where he shows up in some outlandish outfit where you're going like, what the hell?
Yeah.
That's one of the cool things about the show is it has this underlying sense of humor in addition to all the violence and everything else going on. And usually it's Job that's the center of that. So I'm glad he's back. That was, that's a character that they really needed. And, Fat Al is the man, somebody says. That's the whole scene. Do I look like the kind of...
Right.
Exactly.
All right, let's go to our man Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free, who I imagine is going to be very busy in the coming weeks. Aubrey, what's going on? I know you guys can rescue some people whose floors have just been ruined by this weather, right?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I mean, coming off had a family tragedy last week, and it's just not even bearable. And then at work, though, other families are having these tragedies of water extractions and water in their home. And what you want to do under any circumstances, try to get the right team out to initially help. And we do have $100,000 machine that has the most powerful system in the world. When you dial 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373, we actually have crews standing by spread out, working on water extractions, going right to the other one. And, we can get that black water out. It's called black water. And we can absolutely get sanitizer. The super water has an electrical charge. We can dry, automobile carpets we have the toughest time with, but we do tile, wood, drapes, upholstery. Of course, the carpets, a lot of times we can back the carpet and take the padding out, and then sometimes we can back the padding and the carpet and save them both. So dial 281-DIRT-FREE if you need a crew out. We come out, we will absolutely get the job done right, perfect, and we are the team that you want to dial. 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373, dirtfreecarpet.com, and just ready to field your calls for anyone. And we've got big trucks, so we get into areas. We were working before the rain stopped because our trucks are so big. We were just higher than the water in a lot of areas. So 281-DIRT-FREE, we're ready to take your calls and get on it.
All right, that's 281-DIRT-FREE. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week, Aubrey.
Okay, guys.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Happy Tuesday. Hope you're high and dry. And just a quick look out the window, and it doesn't look like the weather is getting bad again, so... good for that. I'll have to check the Doppler at some point to make sure we're safe. So, a new event is coming to ESPN. I know you're going to be excited about this.
All right.
Well, technically, it's ESPN3, which is the online thing, which is how I have to watch CFL football. The first International Drone Racing Association event will be showcased by ESPN. The 2016 U.S. National Drone Racing Championships will crown the coveted title of fastest drone pilot in the United States.
Are you going to watch that?
No.
No. I watched the first time they did it? Those Red Bull airplane, like where you make your own airplane?
Yeah.
And they do those, see who can make them fly? I watched that once, and then it was really sad and embarrassing, and I said, I don't want to ever watch this again. They call it like Flutog or something like
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that. I like sport.
Well, there are times when I wish ESPN would do some of the stuff it used to do, like Australian rules football in the middle of the night. That was one of my favorite things to do.
God, I saw a vicious Australian rules football hit that's floating around the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, a guy just gets blindsided, laid out.
Was it a bigger hit than the lacrosse one that's going around where the goalie totaled the dude?
I got to see that. I haven't seen that.
That is, you know how I love stuff like that, where some guy just gets destroyed. But I didn't think lacrosse was that vicious. I've learned my lesson from watching that video. But, drone racing. There were things that I used to love. Like, even when they had the America's Cup and those guys were in the sailboats and everything.
Right.
I'd watch that late at night. think late at night they ought to do more than that, other than replay SportsCenter 11 times to see the same highlights we've already seen.
Yeah.
And, you know, so what if I don't like it? You'll find something I like.
I'm sure.
And that's, I kind of miss that. That's going way back, though. That's when they first started, back when Berman was still skinny. So
those were the days.
Yeah. So a lot of people who are just joining us want your take on the Conor McGregor thing, which I know you dealt with in the first hour, but I think it's worth revisiting.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know if it's true. I don't know that anybody knows that it's true. Again, he'd be walking away from a ton of money if that's the case. But at the same time, like I said about that guy who died last week, that hit pretty close to home for Conor. That was one of his training partners that was fighting that guy that died. So, I mean, we're talking about a guy who just saw someone die from playing this game. If he feels he's got enough money to walk away from the sport and live for the rest of his life and not have to put himself at risk anymore, good for him. And I mean, the likelihood of him dying is very, very slim. The likelihood of, really, from what we've seen, the likelihood of even career-ending injuries in MMA is pretty slim. But if there's any possibility at all, and you don't have to take that risk, why do it? And he maybe he feels he's made enough money. I still don't know that I still don't know if I believe it. UFC 200 is going to be massive for the sport. Massive. And if he's on that card, it makes it even bigger. And I know he wants a cut of those pay-per-views that are going to come through, and he would absolutely get a big hunk of the pay-per-view that comes through on that. I have a hard time thinking that he'll walk away from it now. But I've always thought that he was one of those guys who would be done early. It's the same thing we said about J.J. Watt. I don't think J.J. Watt's retiring next year, but it wouldn't surprise me if J.J. Watt played 9 or 10 seasons and said, all right, I'm good, I'm done, and walked away while he was still very good. Not everybody has to, you know, play their sport until they're
broken down and
42
just collecting
and
money,
a shell of themselves. That's not the requirements. So I wouldn't not everybody wants to wait until they're Peyton Manning and have just don't look the same, you know. And the reality is, if you do that, especially in a sport like fighting, hell, we talked to some of these boxers. It can go downhill in a hurry, and these guys hang around because it makes good money. But you know what they're going to be like 10, 15 years from now. It's going to be sad. And if you don't want that to happen to you, and you've got the money to walk away, by all means, do it.
Yeah, although I'll kind of throw JJ and Conor into the same boat here. They love attention. They really do. And yeah, JJ tweeting out that, you know, people are making stories out of the fact that I made it to practice when it was made it to the facility when it was raining. What the heck?
That was that. Someone texted me the lacrosse thing. I didn't realize my phone was so loud.
But he's like, a lot of other players were there, but you're the one tweeting out and Instagramming pictures of yourself there.
Yeah, you remember when J.J. Watt ripped on the Titans quarterback, Mettenberger, for selfies? And now he's like the selfie guy?
But you can't just keep tweeting out stuff and getting attention for it and then saying, eh.
Yeah.
It was, you know,
he knows what he's doing.
I'm not retiring. I'm single, and I made it to practice. You tweeted all those things out. You talked to Peter King, and Peter King made it Monday morning quarterback. You can't have it both ways. If you're going to do that stuff, people are going to react to it. And, you know, the whole I need a girlfriend thing. Okay, dude. You know, this is what you get. You're turning yourself into a football Kardashian. The difference is you can play. But a lot of that's being famous for being famous, and that's cool. I mean, if that's what you want to do, but you can't have it both ways. You can't just... people ignore what you say and only take it the right way. It's crazy. Crazy talk. Go race a drone. 713-780-ESPN's your number. I don't know where those Rockets fans are. It's like, oh, they were just lying in the weeds, man.
No, those guys are quiet now.
Well, they were awful loud last week. I'd just like to hear from them. Just want to hear what they have to say. Telling us how stupid we were, how we were raining on their parade because they were having a parade. It was actual rain. That was not our fault. But George says McGregor would be perfect for the WWE.
He would be. Although, I mean, you're talking, he's a wee lad. I mean,
yeah. Well, isn't Rey Mysterio a wee lad?
Yeah, but Rey Mysterio.
That's the only short guy.
Doesn't he the one? John, Rey Mysterio does like flips and stuff like that, right?
Yep.
Conor McGregor ain't doing no flips or flying around all crazy. This is a. I think he's too small for it. I think he's too small for that. Although he would be a big draw. You're right. I just think he's too small for that activity. I don't even want to call it a sport.
Well, it's not a sport.
Too small for that world.
It's acting. Is what it is.
I mean, it's entertainment. Very physical acting. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
But
he could be a little stunt man. He could be like a little leprechaun stunt man. When they make the new leprechaun movies, that could be him. Just a thought. Speaking of MMA, did you see that? No shock now that New York is on board. We were thinking Madison Square Garden, but apparently the UFC had discussions about an event at Yankee Stadium.
That'd be cool too. Although I always say those outdoor events are dumb. Don't do things like that outdoors because inevitably it will rain.
Yeah. But Lorenzo Fertitta said there's a bunch of other venues we want to go to. We want to go to Barclays. We've had discussions with Yankee Stadium to do something next summer there. Obviously, Madison Square Garden has got to be part of that rotation too.
No doubt. That's the one they want to get into.
Yeah, and that's the one place in New York that you have to do. But
and that'd be such a cool place to watch fights like that. They have that upper ring where we sit when we watch the boxing. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I'd love to watch an MMA fight there.
Somebody says Shawn Michaels was 5'8".
Okay.
So okay, you can be a little guy and be successful.
I guess.
Apparently, though, he just said he decided to retire young. He's still very young. That could be 5 years from
now.
That's
what I've always said. I don't know yet. Let's wait. I think it's still possible that he means he wants to retire young. It doesn't mean that he's going to retire today.
He's 27.
Yeah.
So what's young for MMA? 32?
32 is still young.
I think so. So 5 more years. It could be 5 more years. That would still be pretty young.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels is not 5'8".
Okay. That was a
lie. I mean, he's listed at 6'1", but why would you be 5'? Rey Mysterio is listed at like, I think, 5'7". Okay. But when I met him, he was probably like 5'4".
So he's an Altuve.
Yeah, he's an Altuve. But okay. I think Shawn Michaels is probably closer to, you know, 5'10", 6 feet. But Daniel Bryan, the one that everyone was on a couple years ago.
Yeah, he doesn't look like a wrestler.
He's about 5'11".
Okay, and he's
was that before
he's,
Royal
he's considered short.
He's tiny. He doesn't look like a wrestler, and he's bigger than Conor McGregor.
Yes,
McGregor is 5'9", 170.
Okay,
well, but he'd have to roid up for that, right?
Yeah.
So he'd probably be 185. So 5'9", that's doable. So yeah, WWE will hire him. He'll make plenty of money.
Maybe, good for him if that's the case. I think you could get concussions doing that stuff too.
Yeah, you can.
That's the reason Daniel Bryan retired.
Yeah.
I think that's in some ways more dangerous because you're doing stunts. Stunts can go wrong. Yeah, and I know there was just a death in this, but for the most part, the way the rules are, they protect you. I mean, and I would almost think wrestling is more dangerous in terms of injuries. I don't know.
Did you see that? Have you seen the 7-day forecast for our city?
I have not.
80% chance of rain today.
Okay, that hasn't happened yet.
80% chance tomorrow, 80% chance Thursday. Friday and Saturday, partly cloudy, mostly sunny. Then back to showers, 60% and 60% on Sunday and Monday.
Okay, I'm going to go with if they're saying 80%, because the weather idiots are always wrong. I'm going to say 45% is the actual number.
Okay.
Less than 50% chance. That's my prediction, my scientific prediction based on their predictions, which are always wrong.
Okay.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On your knees, dog.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. And we are back on The Blitz. And it is time for our good friend, Houston Chronicle columnist Jerome Solomon. You can follow Jerome on Twitter, at Jerome Solomon. So, Jerome, did you manage to stay dry yesterday, or were you one of those people who was locked down?
No,
I happen to live on top of a hill, so
of course
nice
you do.
Try, I guess you know. I could complain that my pool, you know, got a little dark for a few couple hours, but you know, other than that, I'm pretty good.
Well, there you go.
That would be a pretty sad complaint. Like, man, all of this rain turned my pool dark green for a couple hours.
That must have been awful.
What's the world coming to around here?
Yeah, my big
black man can't have a clear pool.
My big complaint was I stepped in a puddle when I was walking the dog that morning. That was it.
I know. And you feel for people, and obviously there's people who died. So it's a very serious situation, and it's really sad. I do have a friend whose house was just, you know, flooded completely, car flooded in the garage, and they had to be taken out by boat. Hmm. We had a story in the Chronicle, and the quote from a person, well, they said that, you know, at midnight, the water was, you know, an inch deep inside their apartment. And by 2 a.m., you know, it was like a couple of feet deep. And, you know, next thing you know, it was waist high. And the quote was, yeah, you could just see the water rising. I was like, what are you waiting for? But, you know, it wasn't me. So you don't know how you would react to those situations. But I assume I would take off.
Yeah, well, if you can go anywhere, though, I mean, if the water's that high, you better have a boat, because I don't think your car's going anywhere.
When it's 2 inches deep, I think you can wade through that. But you know, again, it's easier to say when it's not you and you're not in a situation, you know, where you're like, oh, it's only an inch deep, it's not going to get any worse, and then a couple hours later, it's waist high. So.
Yeah,
pretty rough on people.
And I know, especially around those bayous, and I know a lot of people over in Meyerland that went through the floodings less than a year ago, and now they got nailed again. And that water just comes up so fast sometimes, there's not much you can do about it. So
yeah, and I mean, people at the Chronicle were joking last week about, you know, about the only way the Rockets can win a game over Golden State is to, you know, have a, you know, natural disaster, which they had last year. They won that game. Well, they didn't. That didn't help them any.
No, well, I think the Rockets qualify as a natural disaster on their own.
Yeah, it's coming pretty naturally to them to be as bad as they've been, and that's what, you know, I mean, they've been this way all season, and you know, why would we expect anything different come the playoffs? But you still wonder how can this many guys all together decide to not give a damn. Basically, I mean, they just, it's amazing to see it happen across the board, and to have a head coach who everybody likes and thinks is going to be a good coach at some point, and it's not his fault, but he's not doing anything to make any difference. And then when he does something, he's like, hey, I know what, let me start Corey Brewer. You know, Corey hadn't made a three-pointer since, what, Valentine's Day or something. So, of course, he hadn't made any shots in the series. I mean, it's an across-the-board organizational failure from top to bottom, left to right, and it's pure comedy now. I mean, you just watch the way they're falling apart. And even if they were playing well, they could still be down 0-2, but they're not even trying.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't think the Warriors either game have played anywhere near their best. And game one, they weren't even in it, and no Curry last night. They're not even in it. Man, this... I mean, I can't give people any reason to want to watch the rest of these games. It's just...
Yeah, these are the Warriors you want. You know? Like, I was saying last week about getting in the playoffs, I was like, man, you roll up on Steph Curry's ankle and, you know, you got a shot. Well,
but that was actually false. You didn't have a shot.
Yeah, that was... I'm sorry, I should have said roll up on Steph Curry and two other starters' ankles and knees and you might have a shot, because that... like you said, the Warriors aren't even playing well. I mean, yeah, we know how great a team they are, how great a season they've had. Anyway, they're not that team. They haven't been in these two games. They haven't needed to be, because the Rockets are that bad. Steph Curry's played 20 minutes in the series, and you haven't even come close to winning. That's ridiculous.
How much would obviously they're going to need to make a lot of changes, but and you mentioned Bickerstaff. Is there any way you can bring this guy back? I mean, has he shown you anything to indicate that he can fix what's wrong with this team?
No, I don't think there's any debate about that. And if only for the fact that the players don't believe in him, because they did, they would be giving him much better effort for much farther along in the season. I mean, for a group of guys who,
didn't exactly, you know, jump up and down screaming upset when Kevin McHale was fired. They didn't run around with their hair on fire for the rest of the season or any week of the season even to say, hey, man, we love this new guy. So the players aren't in on it. And ownership, you know, it's Alexander. He's in it for money and making money. And you can't sell Bickerstaff coming back, you know, in a general sense. I mean, so, no, I doubt it. There is no way he will be the head coach next year. There will be a change at head coach, no doubt about it. And it's quite likely Daryl Morey is going to go full Morey on us. And there might be 8 new players on the team or more. Who knows?
Why isn't Morey, why isn't he being held a little more accountable for this? If you know, okay, you're going to get rid of the coach. I mean, shouldn't his name be in the discussion here? He put this team together.
It should be if you had a different owner, and obviously Les Alexander believes in it, and he's always believed in him, and I think that the things that Daryl has told Les along the way have almost always he's been accurate about things. So maybe Les values that in a sense, but this is the first time he's been way off, and I think he's been way, way off, because not only was he off in to Les's pocket with the money he spent on Ty Lawson, he was off in, well, you know, we don't need to do a whole lot of this or a whole lot of that because this team is capable. He was so far off that Les was walking around with a big smile on his face before the season and telling anybody who said anything that this is the best team I've had since the Olajuwon days. This is a championship team. So Les ought to be embarrassed and upset at his general manager finally. But you know, he hasn't given any indication that, you know, he's ready to make a move atop though.
Jerome Solomon, our guest, Houston Chronicle columnist. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. Let's turn it to football because, the Texans making it official with, Brian Hoyer being cut loose. What was your favorite moment of the Brian Hoyer era?
Dig deep.
Let's see. It was probably, boy, there's so many. They had some beautiful moments, but it was almost certainly the play after the dumbest call in the history of the Texans franchise. The I've got a defensive lineman who is so hurt that he's going to talk about it all summer long with all the surgeries, et cetera. I'm going to put him in the Wildcat and give him the ball. After that play, the very next play where you're like, oh, that play won't even matter because they're still, you know, it's still the 4-yard line. That interception, that was pure Brian Hoyer. That was a thing of beauty. I mean, if you watch the way he walked up back onto the field and the way he took the snap, you knew he was going to Hoyer that one up. And he did. He delivered. I mean, you got to give the guy credit. He's not the kind of guy that can be average all the time. He has to be below average so often that it's really impressive that you can pull that off and continue to get jobs in the NFL. Way to go, Brian.
Yeah, it looks like he's going to visit the Jets, so that makes perfect sense. But we talked about this a little bit before. Would it have made sense to keep him as a backup, or was there just too much damage done from that one game? I mean, he's still an effective backup.
I just believe in if you have a guy on your team that you don't want to put in the game, why do you have him on your team? And he's a guy I don't want to put in the game. But that's me personally. I just don't think the guy can play at all, and he never showed that he can play at all. And everybody acts like he can because he wasn't god-awful last year. He was just bad. No, but that's me.
But Bill O'Brien, as a backup quarterback, though.
No, but you got to play your backups in this league. I don't want him on my team because I might have to mess around and put him in the game. No, he can't play for me.
But what backup quarterback do you feel good about having on your team, really?
Whoever it is, I will feel better about than having Brian Hoyer.
Okay.
That's just the way I feel about it because I've watched him play, and he has no nuts. You see how he folds up under pressure? I can't have you out there if you do that under pressure. You can be a guy that's not very good or can make some mistakes, but when the pressure's on, he collapses. You can't play for me. I'm sorry.
I think 3 years ago, people would have said the exact same thing about Matt Schaub.
For that year?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, we're going out with the worst possible taste in our mouths of Brian Hoyer.
You're, you're, you're seriously trying to compare Matt Schaub to Brian Hoyer?
No, but I'm just saying Brian Hoyer's he's better than a lot of the other guys that are backup quarterbacks
in
this
league. I wouldn't have Matt Schaub as a backup on my team right now either because he's no longer any good. But Brian Hoyer has never been good.
But, Jerome, the problem is there's about 20 even respectable quarterbacks in the NFL. There's 32 teams. That means there's 32 backups. It's hard to find a good backup quarterback. I mean, you want a guy. All I'm looking for in a guy is a guy who's got some experience, I guess.
You think Brian Hoyer is better than Brandon Weed?
I don't think so. I've seen Brian Hoyer do more good things in his career than I've seen Brandon Weeden do.
I've seen Brandon Weeden do more coming off the bench for the Texans than Brian Hoyer did.
Okay. At his best, have you seen Brian Hoyer be better than Brandon Weeden?
No, I just don't think Brian Hoyer's any good. No.
Okay. Well, we've been watching different Brandon Weeden games.
And I don't think Brandon Weeden's any good, but to sit here and debate me over whether Brian Hoyer can play and I want him as a backup quarterback, no. I mean, that's just me. Like I said, if you like him, fine. Have him on your team. I wouldn't want him on mine. He's not good enough for that. I want my backup quarterback to be a playmaker, a guy who can win games for me, not a guy who's never won any games.
I must have missed the games that he won last year when they made the playoffs.
You mean when they won half the games that he started? That 4-4 that though?
Never won though? I mean, how do you say won?
Okay, come on. You know what I mean? He was 0 for his career. Well, actually, Weeden is probably 0 for his career. But no, yeah, obviously, you know, he never won a game. But it's not. He didn't. He can't play. I can't believe we're having this debate. He's not any good.
You're not asking saying you can't find
his completion percentage. Before last season when he came to Texas, his completion percentage was the worst of everybody who's been in the league for as long as he's been in the league.
I'm just saying you can't find 64 quarterbacks better than him.
You can't find 64. No, fine, but I don't want him on my team. You understand? See, you think you would rather have him than Colin Kaepernick. I think you're nuts, and you think I'm nuts that I would take Colin Kaepernick over him. That's fine. You run with Brian Hoyer, I'll run with Kaepernick, and I'll take my chances.
Fair enough. Well, I don't want either one of those guys, to be honest. I'm just, yeah. I'm just saying you could do worse.
As a backup quarterback, not as your starter. That's
you could, but I wouldn't do worse. I would do better. I would do other. And that's all I said from the get-go. I don't want that guy because I know what he does under pressure. I'd rather have a guy that I don't know what he'll do under pressure. I would rather have Tom Savage, who I don't know what he'll do, because I know Brian Hoyer's going to nut up. Well, I already know that. So why am I going to go down that road?
I'll tell you what Tom Savage is going to do. He's going to snap a pinky and be done for the year. Because that's what he's done every year.
Things happen.
All right, Jerome. We will talk to you again next week, man. We got to let you go.
All right, man.
All right. Yeah. Jerome Solomon, Houston Chronicle columnist. Follow him on Twitter, at Jerome Solomon. I love how he was talking about the quote in the paper. I can't tell you the last time I've actually read the paper. Where I like bought a paper and read it.
My dad gets the Chronicle, but he's super old.
Yeah,
you know. And like,
I mean, for all the years I worked,
computer just sits in this office in his house, and he uses it when he absolutely has to. Other than that, he's not going in there to check the news every day.
I think it's been 2 years since I've actually purchased I'll buy USA Today sometimes during football season, but I can't remember the last time I actually bought a Chronicle.
Yeah.
Anyway, quick break. A lot more to come. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. And we are back on The Blitz. Attention League City, Clear Lake, and South Houston Blitzers. The Blitz is coming for a Friday live broadcast. Join us at Quaker Steak and Lube on the Gulf Freeway in League City. Friday from 4 until 7. It's Carbach Friday. Get specials on Rodeo Clown, Hopadillo, and Three-Legged Lab, featuring Here Comes the Sun, plus lots of other happy hour specials. Visit ESPN975.com for more info. Like that Three-Legged Lab and that Here Comes the Sun.
Yeah.
They're all good. It's Carbach. Jung, just want to say I went ahead and read this one before I actually did it, which I'm glad I did. Because it says we're coming for a Good Friday live broadcast. Did I miss a holiday somewhere?
Somewhere along the way.
I mean, it's going to be a Good Friday because we're there.
Right.
Right? But looking forward to getting back down there. That's my old home area. And Love that place. So we'll be out there Friday, and then Saturday I'll be at Sam Houston Race Park. So we got a little world tour going this week.
Do you have a gym of the day already?
I do, but if you've got one, go ahead.
I've got a good one.
My mine was going to be about a guy who fell asleep on the job, but okay. We can talk about that anytime. Let's do the jingle.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Panock Jeweler gym of the day. So, let's just say you're one of those guys who likes to, your wife's out of town a lot. You like to bring home a side lady.
I wish my wife would be out of town a lot.
Well, it's getting more and more difficult, apparently.
Really?
A new high-tech mattress detects any sort of odd activity and reports it to the owner via a mobile app. Reacting to a report that Spain has a high rate of infidelity, a Spanish mattress firm decided to make a move. He developed the Smartress and its lover detection system. 24 ultrasonic sensors measure suspicious movement in the bed, transmitting data of the tryst, including a 3D mattress model to show where most of the exertion is taking place. A company rep told that said that the product is real. They've received several inquiries and that it's a $1,750 mattress. It's still in the production process. But apparently it's like having a it's the next step in affair detection. They said one YouTube user's recommendation was you could add a remote control taser. So if you if your partner and this, you know, listen, you're out of town sometimes, maybe your wife is into some stuff, maybe you could use this. Maybe I could use this.
I don't care. That's what
I mean, you want to know at least if they're doing it. If they're doing it, you want it to be on their side of the mattress, right?
Oh, well, yeah, but yeah, I just don't care.
Okay, well, for those who do,
well, can I just say though that that seems like going a little too far to figure it out when all you got to do is put a GoPro in there. You can put up a camera in the room.
True.
If you're that paranoid about it. Anyway.
Well, let's use that our jeweler's gym of the day.
Okay.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Panock Jeweler gym of the day.
Mine was going to be about a poor fellow who fell asleep on the job. And have you ever fallen asleep on the job before?
Oh, yeah. When I worked offshore, sometimes I would, you're working 12-hour shifts and you're doing them for like 28 days straight.
Yeah,
and hard labor. So sometimes I'd have to go look for some kind of a tool down in the bottom of the ship. I'd find a place to sit down and nap for 15, 20 minutes. Sure.
I was
a terrible employee, by the way.
When I first started doing those morning updates, I would sleep on the between updates occasionally and make Abel wake me up like 2 minutes before I was supposed to go on. Usually if I was out until 4 the night before and was on at 5:30. John, you've done that, right?
I used to do all the night stuff too. So in between our show and I also produced Carl's show. So in between that and then the night shows, I would take a nap in that 104 studio where they had that all the huge couches.
And stuff.
I took a nap for a couple hours and then I went to go get dinner and that kind of stuff.
So. I practically lived in there during the week because I would hang out on that side of town and not go home. When I was single anyway. Well. I can assure you this never happened to any of us when we fell asleep on the job. A FedEx ground crew worker dozed off. He was inside an aircraft in Memphis, Tennessee when he dozed off. He woke up 600 miles later in flight.
Jeez.
Apparently, the man woke up, knocked on the cabin door, spoke with the pilots who instructed him to sit in a jump seat in the cargo area and prepare for landing. So he fell asleep in Memphis, Tennessee on a FedEx plane and woke up in Lubbock, Texas.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, apparently they did the whole security check and everything, and it was legitimate. It wasn't, there was just a guy who fell asleep while he was loading stuff on the plane and took a nap in the wrong place. So let this be a lesson if you work for FedEx or whatever. Yeah. Somebody brings up a good point. If I'm having an affair, I'm not banging that girl on my own bed.
Listen, who am I to tell you where to bang your girlfriend?
That's you know, totally your business. I mean, I would just say if you're trying to catch somebody, it's a lot easier just to put a camera in there. Or bug the room. You could do that. That's pretty easy.
I do have that drop cam.
Yeah, drop cam would be perfect, right?
Yeah.
Go put that in there.
But I never check it.
Anyway. All right, guys. Got to tell you, if there's a kid who wants to drop out of school and doesn't know what to do, you know who helps them. It's the Houston Can Academies. They take at-risk kids who have dropped out of other schools, who really need some help, and they give them a second chance. And so many of these kids go on to do great things. And that makes us all better. You know, a lot of these kids would have never amounted to anything without going to Houston Can Academy. And they take that second chance and they do something with it. And the reason is Houston Can Academy works around whatever problems they had. Some of them dropped out. They had to get a job to support their family. Well, they work around their schedule. They give them glasses if they need glasses. They get them transportation if they need that. And that's why they need your donation. They're going to come and tow your vehicle away absolutely free of charge. Your donation's tax deductible. They fill out all the paperwork. It's quick. It's easy. And it doesn't matter what kind of shape that vehicle's in. If it doesn't start, if the motor's messed up, it doesn't matter. They're going to come and take it anyway. And if you donate today, tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, going to get some Astros tickets out of the deal. They're going to take care of you. So give them a call. Houston Can Academy, 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. And the Blitzers have been stepping up big time. Don't be the one who fails to do it. Right off the car, not the kid.